All of the podcasts here at the Sideshow Network are now at the touch of a button on your iPhone and iPad. With the new Sideshow Network app, tune into all your favorite podcasts here at the Sideshow Network. Go to iTunes App Store, search for Sideshow Network, and download our free app to stream all of your favorite Sideshow Network podcasts at any time you want. The top comedians in the world are at your fingertips with the Sideshow Network app for iPhone and iPad.
So you're thinking about starting a new website. Maybe you have some new small business idea. You want to sell something online, or maybe you want to show off your photography, or maybe you want to start that new podcast to compete with mine. That's a bad idea. No podcast. Stop it. GoDaddy is offering one new or one transfer.com for just $1.99 for the first year. Each new.com comes with a free instant page website and built-in photo album. So really, what are you waiting for? Get your website started today. All right, even if it is a podcast, just get it started now. Go to GoDaddy.com, enter code Alonzo at checkout, or click on the GoDaddy banner on our website. I have nothing to do with Danica Patrick. No, I can't hook you up. Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to another episode of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? I'm going to start out with an apology. I know I said I would record from the Just for Last Comedy Festival in Montreal last week, but I actually ran into some technical difficulties. I had issues getting a microphone and getting a microphone to work with my iPad and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, I wasn't able to record there, but the festival was phenomenal. I was part of a show. They called the televised shows galas. And I did a gala hosted by Dane Cook with comics like Robert Kelly, Greg Fitzsimmons, Gary Gulman, who was my roommate from Last Comic Standing, Jeremy Hotz, one of my best friends in comedy, and Harlan Williams. And we had a ball. It was just the guys doing a comedy show. It was like a Rat Pack thing. We were clowning. We all had great sets on stage. We all went out and ate afterwards. And that's the beauty of the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival. If you're a big fan of comedy, and if you're a big fan of great cities, because Montreal is a great city, it's the last week of July every year. Over 1,000 comics doing 100 shows all over town. It's just amazing. So check it out. But anyway, that's where I was last week. I had a great time. I'm sorry I didn't record from there. If you live in Canada, the UK, or Australia, you'll be able to see the gala on TV under the Just for Laughs banner. If you live in the United States, well, I guess you got to get a ticket and go to Canada, the UK, or Australia to see it, because it won't be on American television. All right, so that's what I did last week. I don't know what you did last week, but how about we talk about what Anthony Weiner did last week? You remember Anthony Weiner? His new name, Carlos Danger. That's right, Carlos Danger, sexting those women living on the edge. You know something? I don't even judge this guy based on morality. I judge this guy based on stupidity. How can you be running for mayor of New York? You're running for mayor of the largest city in the United States, and you've been sexting women, but you changed your name. Oh, they'll never find me. Of course, I'll still send pictures. Yeah, that's what we use to identify people. Let me tell you how bad it's gotten for Weiner, okay? And his campaign manager quit. That's when you know your campaign is over. See, when you have a campaign manager, this guy Danny Kadem, who was running things for you, when you have a campaign and the campaign manager quits, the campaign is over. I don't know how simple we can make things for you, Carlos Danger, but that should be the hint. But he's still out there. Weiner's out there all by himself campaigning. He was he had a campaign stop on Staten Island. You know, went out there to see victims of Hurricane Sandy and see their houses rebuilt. A retired assistant principal confronted him, telling him that she would have been fired for engaging in behavior like his, and then she refused to shake his hand, saying, "I don't know where that hand has been." That's a long way from kissing babies, when little old ladies are like, "Get that filthy hand away from me. I don't have enough Purell to touch you." Your campaign manager quit. Carlos Danger is out. Let it go, Wiener. Leave New Yorkers alone. Jeez, who would have thought that they would come to this? You know, here's the thing about these sex scandals. I just read this, and I think this is beautiful. Whenever there's a sex scandal, it seems the Democrats go to therapy and the Republicans go to God. That's right. That's how they get out of it. See, Democrats like Wiener and Spitzer, you know, we'll hang out in New York. You remember Governor Spitzer, a few hookers in Washington, D.C. Apparently, put on those hookers on a credit card, they can somehow trace it. So they said that they're going to go to therapy and they're sex addicts and blah, blah, blah. But the Republicans, you know, like Mark Sanford, the governor of South Carolina, see, when he had his scandal, he said, quote, "None of us go through life without mistakes, but in their wake, we can learn a lot about grace, a God of second chances, and be better for it." So if you're a Democrat, you should probably have a health plan. If you're going to get involved in a sex scandal and you're a Democrat, you should probably have a health plan because somebody's going to have to pay for this therapy that you need to go to. Whereas if you're a Republican, all you need is a church. And let's face it, we've been to church. You go to church as part of a sex scandal, odds are 50-50 the guy running the church has been there, done that. That's all I'm saying. He can feel you. He might have a hotline to God to help you out on it. But yeah, I remember my sex scandal when I did fill in the blank. Young boys, gays, the wife of a member of the congregation. You know, things get hot down at church. And I'm not saying one is better than the other. They're both ridiculous. Hey, if you're in politics, how about you stay out of sex scandals? Now, let's look at the wives, because some people talk about Anthony Weiner's wife, and she's standing by her man, just like her boss, Hillary Clinton. No, Hillary Clinton stood by the President of the United States. Her husband had a job, and it's a pretty good job as jobs go, President of the United States. Anthony Weiner's wife is married to a guy named Weiner, and we're not even going to go down that road, who happens to be unemployed. That's standing by your man. That poor woman is living a country song. So this next one goes out to Mrs. Weiner, a.k.a. Mrs. Danger. Good luck, young lady. Ugh. Well, what else is going on out there? It's been a week. It's been a week. I'm sure you've heard by now that Kate had a baby, and there's a Prince George now, but they're going to call him Georgie while he's a baby, and then at some point he's going to grow up to be Prince George. Now, why is this news? I don't know. Why do I know that? I don't know. But man, they covered, I was in Canada when it was going down. They covered this having a baby like it had never been done before. With all due respect, ladies, having a baby is something you, how hard could it be? Snooki did it. Kim Kardashian did it. Don't brag about any accomplishment that Snooki can match you on. That's all I'm saying. A little humility. But we got a Prince Georgie now. And I imagine this would matter if we were, I don't know, living in Game of Thrones, perhaps. But it's news. There's a new royal baby. There's going to be some shopping done. I think, not sure, but I think the baby already has an Amex black card. And Kanye will no doubt be very upset that that baby got more coverage than little Northwest. Hey, at least the royal family gave their baby a regular name, little Georgie. God bless him. So what else is going on? Fast food workers in New York and Kansas City and various other cities around the country, strike is the wrong word because they don't have a union. so they can't go on strike. But they walked off their jobs. You know how they are, they no good fast food workers, upset just because the CEO of the company makes more a day than they make a year. Let me say that again. He makes more a day than they make a year. That now, call me a socialist, but that just doesn't sound fair. The CEO of McDonald's made $20 million last year. The average employee makes $11,000. You know why it's only $11,000? Because minimum wage, $7.80 an hour, would be $15,000 a year, but they're cutting back their hours. They're not giving the fast food workers full-time hours so that they don't have to get them health insurance through the Affordable Care Act. How low can you go? Give these people a break. Now, I know you're listening to this and you're saying, well, too bad. Those idiots flipping burgers, they don't deserve nothing. Really? They're not idiots flipping burgers. The average age of a McDonald's employee has gone up to 28. You know why? Because the economy's broken and it's one of the few places that hires people. You know why? Because we Americans are fat and we love some burgers and some KFC and some Taco Bell. And what the hell else can you give me for a dollar? Something has to be done. Unions were started being destroyed in the 80s, were somehow made out to be evil in the 90s. Were unions corrupt? Were unions bloated? Yes. But now people are finding out, oh, there's a reason we had to organize as labor. So I say good luck to the fast food workers. How much do they have to get paid? At least $10 an hour. That's all I'm saying. That sounds reasonable to me. And if I can no longer get a hamburger, you know, a Whopper Jr. for $1.29 and it goes up to $1.49 and a Taco Bell taco goes up from 59 cents to 79 cents, I'm going to go ahead and take that. I'm going to eat that. I'm going to eat that. It's ridiculous. Sorry. No pun intended. I'm a hack. I'm going to go ahead and throw in the extra 20 cents if I know that the employees are going to get paid more of a living wage. But if my extra 20 cents goes to another $5 million bonus money to the CEO, screw them. I want my burger for 39 cents like it was in the good old days. It's just one more industry. You know, we've gone through this with the Walmart thing, and people are learning that if you work, you should get paid. Damn, maybe I am a socialist. I'm sorry. I'll stop it. This story, where do I go with this one? Derek Black. And if you want to talk about an ironic name, Derek Black was a member of the, quote, white nationalism movement, which is a white supremacist movement under another name. And he was, and we talk about Prince Georgie, this guy was royalty in the movement. His father created a website called Stormfront.com, and it's the oldest white supremacist website that there is. His mom, and his father was the head of a Klan in like Alabama or somewhere where being the head of the Klan matters. You know, you don't just walk in and take over Alabama Klan or Arkansas Klan or whatever the hell he was. It was real Southern Klan, and his mother is the ex-wife of David Duke. Now, if you don't remember, kiddies, David Duke was formerly the head of the Klan, and he ran for office in Louisiana. Anyway, these are the parents this kid, Derek Black, had. So Derek Black, obviously, was involved in the white power movement. When he was young, and when I say young, I mean like 7 years, well, I'm sorry, age 12, he was part of an HBO documentary called Hate.com. He created a kid's guide to white pride on his father's website. Never too young to start them kiddies on hate. So he was part of that. He was it. He was it. He was part of that whole white supremacist movement. He was homeschooled, and that's important because recently he denounced the whole movement. He separated himself from the, quote, white nationalism, really white supremacist movement and this and that. And he did it. He goes to a college in Florida, which is a pretty liberal college. New College of Florida, described as a relatively diverse liberal arts school. Now, his father said, you know, he was brainwashed by that anti-white stuff in college. Because, you know, that's what colleges do. They sit around. They actually have the anti-white class. You just walk by, they're like, hey, come in here. Are you pro-white? We're here to make you anti. Okay, sorry. But it's that stupid. But what Derek said was, you know, and intelligent, soft-spoken guy, according to what I've read in these articles and interviews, not a rabble-rouser, even when he was pro-white, not violent, didn't get arrested. You know, he wasn't that far, but he was part of the movement. But anyway, he said that it was more of a personal decision. He said his decision wasn't made by the people who hated him. And it's always funny to me how people who are part of hate groups talk about being hated. You know, that it's weird. I'm sorry, more technical difficulties. I got to do something about this. I'm going to have to move in studio. But anyway, let me continue with what I was saying. So he said it wasn't the people who hated him. It wasn't the activists who went up against him, who were critical, people who tried to intimidate his friends, peer pressure. It wasn't any of that. He said the people who were important in changing his mind were those who were friends, who let him know when they talked that they thought his beliefs were wrong for specific reasons and took time to provide evidence and civil arguments. And then he said, and I think this is really important, he said, a critical juncture was when I'd realized that some individual was considered an outsider by the philosophy I supported. It is a huge contradiction to share your summer plans with someone whom you completely respect, only to realize your ideology doesn't consider them a full member of society. So I wonder what that means. Does that mean that he made a black friend at college and was making summer plans and then realized, wait a minute, I'm a white supremacist. We can't go to the beach together. Or maybe it was a Latino friend or a Jewish friend or something happened. He met someone, he talked to someone, he's talking about it. That changed his mind. And you know what that tells me? This is a kid who was isolated and homeschooled and so on and didn't interact with society and believed this whole white supremacy thing. Now, remind you, this is a kid that was raised. You couldn't be more white supremacist than your father was the former head of the Alabama Klan who started the white supremacist website, and your mother was was married to David Duke, and your sisters are involved in the hate movement, and your family has somehow agreed to accept the fact that you don't hate everybody. Forget all of that. That's what he came from. He left all of that behind once he got to a college and interacted with other people. That, people, is the danger of homeschooling. That is why busing and children interacting with each other is the only thing, the only hope we have to destroying racism. Now, on a side note, where do you suppose this little drama played out? Florida. Where else? What? I've said it before, I will say it again. What the hell is going on down in Florida? I'm going to find out next week because, ironically, next week I'm going to be at a club called Captain Brian's in a town called Marco Island in southern Florida. Now, on a side note, there are some black entertainers, biggest name Stevie Wonder, but I've also heard the Wayans and some others who refuse to perform in Florida. And I respect that. But I'm going to go ahead. I'd rather take it to them. Listen, I'd rather go down to Florida and clown them for their stupid laws, their racism, and the whole George Zimmerman thing than just say I'm going to avoid Florida. And the reason for that is Florida is not the only state with one of these idiotic stand your ground laws. You'll also find it in Alabama, Texas, and Arizona, and maybe a few other states that I don't even know about. So I'm going to Florida next week. Florida, if you're listening, I don't hate you, but your laws are stupid. It's the same as Arizona. Something's got to be done, and a comic shall lead them. Eesh. All right, I'm just kidding. I'm not leading anybody, but I will be in Florida. And I'm not backing down. I'm going to make some jokes. So, what else we got going on? I spoke about the babies. I spoke about the royal baby. I spoke about the Kardashian baby. And it seems, and I did not know this, but babies have become status symbols. That's right. Having babies is a status thing. Tina Fey wrote a piece about in New York, it's a status symbol as to how many kids you can have. In other words, I can afford to put four kids into a public, into a private school with private tutors. And, you know, they have to go. It's literally come to the point, and I wish I was making this up. Your kid has to go to the right preschool to get into the right kindergarten, to get into the right school. And there are actual tutors that you pay hourly to go on play dates with your kids to make sure your kid performs properly on a play date to get into the proper preschool. That's right. That's the level we've reached. So having kids now is a status symbol. And look who's having them, right? We don't even know how many kids Angelina Jolie has adopted. I'm going to go with 47. I think the over-under on that is 50. Eddie Murphy's got 7. Ed can afford 7. Ryan Reynolds says he wants to have 30 kids if he could. And as much as the ladies love him, he probably could. He could probably have 30 kids with 30 different women and then just join the NBA or the NFL and say, "What's up, fellas? I'm here." But anyway, Pink said she'd love to have 5 kids. I don't think so. I've seen Pink's workout in her body. I think one kid, she gains 2 pounds. She'll never do it again. But this is their thing. And what's interesting about these parents, well, there's a guy, Blair Koenig. He wrote a book called STFU. I think we know what that stands for. Shut the F up, parents. And it's about self-indulgent and occasionally rage-inducing world of parent overshare. In other words, used to be when they had a kid, you just had to look at pictures. But now you got to watch the Twitter feed on a kid and you got Facebook on a kid. And again, it has nothing to do with the kid. It's the status of here's my kid. Look at my kid doing this, playing soccer, playing piano, blah, blah. Then on the other hand, you have ordinary middle class families who probably used to be that, you know, 3-bedroom house, you know, like a perfect example. Someone put like, this is a neighborhood where a plumber marries a nurse. Okay. I don't know where those neighborhoods are anymore, but that used to be a plumber marries a nurse. They have 3 kids. They get a dog. They have a station wagon, blah, blah, blah. It's America. That doesn't exist anymore because that middle class family can't afford those 3 kids anymore. They might be able to afford 1, but we have 48 million people in this country that don't have health insurance, so they really can't afford any. Then, of course, there is the other extreme, those who can't afford kids but keep having them and depend on a social net, whether it be welfare or some version of it to take care of the kids. And they always pull that out as an extreme. I'm not going to go down that route, that road, okay? I'm just saying people who normally, is normal the right word? People who in the past would have had kids, they don't have them because it's too expensive to have them. But celebrities, they just breeding because you can show off. And you know who else? How about that CEO of McDonald's making $20 million a year? Bet he can afford 4 or 5 little McNuggets. I don't know. I don't have kids. God bless you if you do. And I love them. I love my nieces and nephews and my friends' kids. I've watched some of these kids I've watched grow up. Some of them, they're still little kids or what. It's all good. But our society of all Western societies, we're the anti-kid one. We don't have a national healthcare plan to keep kids healthy. We don't have any kind of paternal leave. We don't aid people with child care and things like that. We talk about caring about the children. You know, listen, you go down, so go to Texas. The politician in Texas can't wait to yell family values, family values, family values. Then they cut money from public schools and no sex education. You know, you ban abortion, but food stamps and welfare and entitlement programs. So I'm going to make you have that baby. But if you ain't got a good job, well, the baby going to have to starve. I don't know what the solution is, but Man, I don't know if celebrities can keep having babies because we've run out of stupid names. I mean, honestly, they can't keep having babies. They might end up having to name a child Mary or name a child Bill because there isn't another flower to name a child after. And listen, there's only 5 boroughs in New York, okay? And I don't think you can name your kid Staten Island, so that cuts it down to 4. Now, fruit, we've got apple. I think a pear is okay. You can't just name the kid pomegranate because there's not enough boxes on the application form to get into the exclusive private school. So you can't throw, you know, pomegranate. That's not a fair name for the kid. He'll never get into the right school. Celebrities have trouble with this. I care. I think there should just be a 3-child rule, and you have one that's a fruit, and one that's a city, and one that's a vegetable. I think that would be good, and that's the limit. In the world of sports, you know I love it. I had a great experience Monday night. I performed at a charity in Philadelphia called Stand Up for Literacy. It's run by Ryan Howard, the former MVP, All-Star first baseman of the Phillies. His wife runs a charity. He's a big part of it. And I will say this, he's a real part of it. He was there. To the extent I saw Ryan Howard carrying boxes of stuff into the hall where they were holding the charity, his wife was right there with, like, TMZ doesn't want that. Just celebrity ball player and his wife get along, laugh together, and actually really work on a charity. What the hell is going on down there? I will tell you this. I did not know until I worked with Ryan Howard, major league ball players, not all, but some, I don't know how good you have to be to get one, major league ball players have robes, personalized robes designed like their uniform with their name and number on the back. In the celebrity auction, Ryan Howard was auctioning off a Ryan Howard bathrobe with his number on it. I am getting one of those robes. I had no idea. What do you have? An autographed ball? An autographed bat? You ain't nothing. Anybody can get a bat. How many people are getting an autographed robe? I'm getting a robe and I'm wearing it. It's going to be on my Facebook page, my profile picture. They'll be, where you get that badass robe? I got it from Ryan Howard, my man. So just like when I met Drew Brees last month, this month I meet Ryan Howard. I'm a lifelong Met fan, but I have to give a shout out to the Phillies just because Ryan was that cool. Mayberry was there. Cole was there. There were a few Phillies at the charity. Every one of them was cool. Every one of them was funny. So I wish them all the best. Now, that's the good side of sports. What's going on the bad side of sports? Well, it seems Ryan Braun was juicing. You remember Ryan Braun, MVP from the Milwaukee Brewers, who was caught using steroids, and they said no. They said he didn't use steroids. The guy who was testing him took the test home and added steroids while he was at home and brought it back. No, it's out now. Okay, so we know Braun was juicing. He's been suspended for the rest of the season. He's going to miss 65 games. He's going to lose like $8 million. And when it's all said and done, somehow they will blame it on A-Rod. I promise you. A-Rod can't win. Listen, this is my view on the steroid era. That's what they're calling it. That's what it was. A ton of players were doing it. The league knew about it. The reporters knew about it. The owners knew about it. Everybody knew about it. Stop pretending you didn't know. Stop trying to take away records and accolades and everything else because everyone got rich. Let's say from 95 to 2005, when baseball had to bounce back from a strike, suddenly there was home run battles. Everyone was going to the ballpark. We were absolutely loving McGuire and Sosa. Bonds, they never really liked Bonds, just not a nice guy. You know, there were pitchers involved, you know, it was baseball players was taking steroids. So kudos to the ones who didn't. Frank Thomas, Ken Griffey, they come to mind. They played clean and they played awesome and good for them. I'm not saying it's okay that the players were juicing, but actually for a while it was because there was a period where it wasn't against the rules. So how can you penalize them for that if Andro and HGH were not against the rules of baseball. How do you penalize the players for using it? You know, I'm not saying it was the right thing to do. It was a great thing to do. I'm just saying it wasn't against the rules. So they did it. So let's stop pretending everything was perfect and let the players play. Now, guys like Ryan Braun and any others who get caught in that, Cabrera, any others who get caught now, after all this, if you get caught using steroids now, I think you should have to wear the name Carlos Danger on your uniform because you are as dumb as sexting wiener. That's right. That's what you should have to do. You should, I am Carlos Danger. Finally, and folks, I don't know if this scared you as much as it scared me. Surfing riot. That's right. I hope you were sitting down when I said it. Surfing riot. What has our society come to when the surfers are rioting? The U.S. Open of Surfing was held in Huntington Beach, California. There was a little scuffle here. The rumor, maybe somebody threw something off a balcony or a punch was thrown. Somehow, a riot broke out amongst surfers and skateboarders and BMXers. And it was crazy. It was crazy. They turned over porta potties and they tore down a stop sign and broke a window with it. And they, you know, now they're not the brightest rioters. They were videotaping the whole thing and posting the videos on YouTube and various sites. And listen, I've said it before. I've said it again. When you commit a crime, don't shoot video. So the cops have been dropping by people's houses all week saying, hey, we saw you were at the surfer riot. We'd like to have a chat. But what the hell is going on when surfers are rioting? This is California. Medical marijuana is legal. You're already a surfer. How much more laid back can you get? Now you can get some legal weed and you still somehow have the energy left to riot? What? I'm shocked. I'm taken aback. I don't know what to do. Now, here's my question. You're turning over porta potties? You wear flip-flops. That's just not sanitary. Surfing and hanging out in flip-flops, kicking over porta potties, somebody could catch something. You surfers need to behave. This is Alonzo Bowden telling you, I love you. Thank you for listening. The question is always, who's paying attention? You are. I really appreciate the feedback you guys have been giving me on the internet. Keep laughing, keep your sanity, and I'll talk to you next week.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny and I love you.